Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and thank you for listening to Guerrilla Christianity, an unconventional, no apologies exposition of God's grace. I'm Pastor Brett Walker. Well, the Advent season is upon us, and everywhere we look, we see signs of Christmas rapidly approaching. Of course, the Advent season is not like the secular Christmas season, which seems to begin earlier and earlier each year. Where the secular world is preparing for the arrival of a jolly old elf in a red suit, the church is preparing for another arrival, the return of Christ on earth. And so we begin our sermon series based on the words, watch, turn, see, dream, peace, word, and reveal. And this week we hear the words of Jesus as he proclaims the advent of his second coming, and we learn what it means to keep watch, keep vigilant, keep ourselves prepared for Christ's imminent return. So grab your Bible, turn it to Matthew chapter 24, and prepare your heart and mind as we see what it means to be keeping watch. We're in the season of Advent. Advent is a new year, so happy new year to all of us. It's the beginning of the church calendar, even though it's November. It's the beginning of the church year. And we're going to be looking this year at primarily the gospel according to Matthew. That's what we look at in the Revised Common Lectionary. This is year A. We just finished year C, in which we were looking at the book of Luke. But Advent, a lot of people confuse Advent with the Christmas season. And rightly so, because when you look at the TV, when you look at what people are doing in the world, when you watch the Thanksgiving parade, everything is pointing to Christmas. You know, the Black Friday sales, all the holiday songs. They started playing all the Christmas songs on the radio last week. Some radio stations even started before that. But the Christmas season, according to the church, begins on December 25th and ends 12 days later on January 6th, the day of Epiphany. That's why we have a song called the 12 Days of Christmas. There are actually 12 days in the Christmas season. This season is Advent. And while there is a certain amount of preparation for the Christmas season, what Advent really, truly is about is preparation for the return of Christ. We proclaim in our communion liturgy, we say, Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. And we believe that. We say it in our Apostles' Creed, that Christ will return. It's what we believe as Christians. Because Christ ascending into heaven wasn't the end of the story. Really, it was just the beginning. And what we are doing since then is anticipating his return. Let's look at this text, beginning at verse 36, Matthew chapter 24. But about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together. One will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, send forth your Spirit into our hearts and minds, that we who hear the reading of your holy word may be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We ask this humbly in the name of Christ, our Redeemer. Amen. Well, this past weekend we celebrated Thanksgiving and entered into the secular Christmas season of indulgence, consumerism, covetousness, and avarice. Yesterday was the first day at Amazon when all the buying really took effect. And I knew that there was going to be something completely different about that day. I may have told you, last year when I worked during the peak season, we processed 5.25 million packages between Black Friday and Christmas Eve. 5.25 million packages all going through that center in Logan. The record that we set last year for a single day was 238,000 packages. 238,000 packages on December 23rd of last year, all in one day. And let me tell you, I worked that day. And it was not an easy day. So I walked in yesterday, and I took an extra shift, by the way. I worked a 5 to 9 a.m. shift. And I knew immediately it was going to be an interesting day, let's put it that way. And as I was talking to the manager, because our numbers fluctuate through the day, and it all depends on what trucks are coming to us. But by 6 o'clock in the morning, we had a concrete number, and that number was 250,000 that we were going to be processing. And I'm doing the math in my head. We've got four shifts. To do 250,000 in one day, we would have to do a little more than 60,000 packages per shift over four shifts. Well, we did 43,000 in the first shift. In the second shift, we did 70,000. And we were well on our way to breaking that record from last year. 250,000 packages is a lot. And it also makes me think that we're probably going to go beyond that at some point. But it also leads me to wonder about this particular passage. And what does it mean to keep watch? What does it mean to keep watch? You know, when I was in the Army, we set watches around the clock. There was always somebody on duty at any given moment, all through the night, all around the clock. There was always somebody on duty and somebody keeping watch. When my name popped up on the roster for the night watch, I hated doing it. Because who wants to stay up all night and do nothing and just wait for something to happen? Because sometimes it would just be nothing would happen all night, especially if you're on night watch during the week. It's usually quiet and boring. But sometimes you would get night watch on a weekend, and then you would get a call from a soldier who needed a lift from the bar, you know, who didn't want to drive home drunk. And it was our responsibility to drive out and pick him up and bring him home. And then in the morning, drive him out and pick up his car when he was sobered up. It was always someone there to answer the call, no matter what happened, all during the day and during the night. When we look at this text, this is what Jesus says to his followers. About that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Jesus was fully God and fully human. But God the Father did not reveal to his human nature the hour and the time of his return. And it's not for us to know, because if we know that Jesus will return and when, we in our human nature will party it up and then repent in the last 5 minutes. Now, why do I say that? Because I know human nature. I know myself. I remember when I was a teenager, I was 18 years old, and I was working at Sam Goody's in the mall. It was a very vital job. I have to tell you, it's so vital that when my parents went on vacation, I stayed home to work while they left. And they left me alone for 2 weeks. An 18-year-old at home alone for 2 weeks. I was a model citizen. Kept the house spotless. Mowed the lawn twice a week. No, that's not what happened at all. In fact, it was the exact opposite. I had a party, and the house was trashed. And I remember the pool turned green because I didn't do anything with it. And so, but I thought, you know, it's okay. You know, what I'm going to do, because I know when they're coming home, and I'm just going to go through the house and I'll clean it all up the day before they come home. So it was the day before they came home. And I was at work, and my manager called me into the office and said, "Your dad's on the phone." And I said, "Oh, you know, he's on vacation. Why would he be calling me for? Maybe somebody got hurt, right?" And so I said, "Hi, Dad, how you doing? Is your vacation okay?" And he says, "Well, it was okay, and then I came home." A day early, yes. And I tell you, all the blood in my face drained straight into my feet. I've never, even now I'm feeling chills just thinking about my father telling me this on the phone. He came home a day early and I was unprepared. And the last thing I remember him saying to me was, "We have some things to talk about when you get home." Click, you know? And I'm thinking, oh my gosh. And I'm thinking, can I just live here at Sam Goody? Would they give me a cot in the back? Can I just stay here? No, I had to go home and face the music. And it wasn't pleasant, but that's the whole point. I didn't live in a way that honored my family. I didn't live in a way that honored my father. And when he came home a day early, he found out exactly how I had been living. So it's not for us to know the day or the hour, because if we know the day or the hour, we'll do whatever we want right up until the last minute, and then we'll repent, we'll be all good. Jesus wants us to live in a way that honors him all the time. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 7, he said to his disciples, "It is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority." It's not for us to know. Because we in our human nature were weak. And we will take advantage of that knowledge. In verse 37, he talks about the days of Noah. "For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man." Now, Noah listened to God. It's estimated that it took him 120 years to complete the ark. For 120 years, people saw him building that ark. And yet none of them made preparations for the flood. And in the end, only 8 people were saved. Noah and his 3 sons and their wives. It says, verse 38, "For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away, so too will be the coming of the Son of Man." Like me with a partying when my parents were away. This is how we live in society today. We give no care to whether or when Christ will return, even those of us in the church who know that he will return. In 1 Thessalonians, we read about the return of Christ. He doesn't talk about the exact way, but he says, "You yourselves," Paul says, "you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. And while people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman. And they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober. Paul tells us we have to keep watch. We have to keep awake so that this sudden destruction doesn't come upon us, as it did in Noah's time. So, Tom Blackaby, in his book, Experiencing God at Home Day by Day, said it this way: many people do not seem to think that Jesus will come back in their lifetime. If they did, it would affect the way that they lived. If we knew that Jesus would return in our lifetime, it would affect the way we live. Verse 40, Jesus talks about what we know of as the rapture. Two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and one will be left. There was a series of books written by Tim LaHaye and Jerry B. Jenkins, and they were called the Left Behind series, named after the first book of the series, Left Behind. And in it, they described the rapture, and all of these people just disappeared, vanished. And nobody who was left behind could figure out why. A few people understood it because a few people had been exposed to reading the gospel or hearing the gospel. Certainly people whose family members who were very Christ-like, who were Christians, they understood what had happened, but it was too late. And so Jesus talks about this. One is taken, one is left. Taken how? Jesus doesn't say. But in 1 Thessalonians again, Paul tells us, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. We call this event the rapture because in Latin, that word caught up is raptus, which is like a bird of prey swooping down and snatching its prey out of the water. A rapture, raptus. So, Jesus says, keep awake, therefore, verse 42, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. Staying awake doesn't mean to not sleep physically, but to be spiritually alert for the return of Christ. We are to live our lives as though Christ is coming at any moment. We do not know the day or hour. We need to live lives that honor God. If my father and mother, when they went on vacation, said to me, you don't know when we're coming back, I probably would have kept that house immaculate every single day and never would have had a party. But instead, they told me when they were coming back, and then they came back a day early. Now, whether they did that to catch me, I don't know. But they did it, and I got caught. So, but Jesus is saying to stay awake. Stay awake. Live spiritual lives that honor God. And in verse 43, Jesus says, but understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. When I lived in Pittman, there were several times, and you know, Pittman is such this quiet community that seems very safe and secure, but there were many times I would wake up in the morning and my car had been broken into. Well, to say that it was broken into is a misnomer. Somebody opened my car door and took stuff out of it. Okay, I left the car door unlocked. So how often, like on the day after that, after I've had my car broken into, I would stay up at night and watch and see if somebody would come back. They're not coming back. They're probably on the other side of the state. And then when I least expected it, And when I became lazy and left my car unlocked, that's when they would always come back to break into my car and steal all my tapes and whatever else was in there, you know. There are ways to prevent or at least dissuade a break-in, and that's simple. Lock the door. That's all you have to do. Lock the door, and I never got it, you know. Just lock the door. Well, that's what Jesus is saying. If the man of the house knew at what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have left his house be broken into. He says, therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. And how can we be ready? How do we live lives that honor God? In John 15, Jesus says to his disciples, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. We abide in Christ. If we abide in Christ, we live Christ-honoring lives. If we live lives that honor Christ always, then he will not catch us unawares. Then when that time comes, like a thief in the night, we'll be prepared. We'll be prepared. Jesus calls us to be ready. So, we have to ask ourselves this question. If Jesus were to return today, right now, at this moment, are you ready? Well, of course you are. Because you're sitting in church. You're in a worship service. And your whole focus, presumably, is on God. You're not thinking about shopping lists. You're not thinking about Christmas gifts or soccer games or football or how you're going to use up your Thanksgiving leftovers. You're sitting here in this house of worship. You're focused solely on the object of our worship, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, and His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But what about after the service? What about this afternoon? What about tomorrow or all this week? Where is our focus? To what do we place our affections? What takes the gaze of our hearts? Jesus said that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What is your treasure? Is your treasure something on earth that will decay, become obsolete, break down, be thrown away? Is your treasure in people who are here today and gone tomorrow, inconstant as the weather and the seasons, loyal only to themselves? Or is your treasure in God, who never changes, who loves you with a complete and unchanging, unconditional love, the love that paid the price for your indiscretions, the love that gave and asked nothing in return? Jesus said that those who are forgiven much love greatly the one who forgives. So I ask you, are you ready? You who have been forgiven much, how much love is in your heart for God? Are you keeping awake? If Christ were to return right now, today, tomorrow, this week, this month, next year, 10 years from now, will he find you ready? Will he find you keeping watch? Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, humbly we bow our heads and our hearts to you. Help us, O Lord. We are so weak and so swayed by the things of this world. In this Advent season, strengthen our hearts that we may remain focused on you, not just for the next month, not just through Christmas, but every day of our lives. Remind us of the love that you have given us and fill us with your Spirit. crowd out all of those things of the world that try to take our affections, that try to distract us from your love for us. You are God, you and you alone. Never let us forget what you have done for us, how you have forgiven us, how you love us, and how you will return one day to take us to be with you forever. Thank you, Lord, for your great grace. All this we pray in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If you live in the Salem County area, you can join us on Sunday morning for worship. Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn holds its worship service at 9 a.m. And Hudson United Methodist Church in Patricktown meets for worship at 10:30. We also have Bible study during the week, and right now we're studying the Holy Land of the Bible. Now, if our message today has touched you in some way, won't you let us know in the comments? And consider sharing it on a social media platform of your choice. You can also access this podcast through the Podbean app on Android or on iTunes. Just search for Guerrilla Christianity. Keep listening, keep growing, and I pray that God will continue to bless you in your journey of faith. Amen.